listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Division. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't beg for money. We don't jump the pew. We don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands in the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's Word and actually apply it to current events, and we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse, or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com.
Every week, millions of adults suffer from the same terrible condition, Bible ignorance. Experts say most adults can't name the first book of the Bible. Do you think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, Paul was one of the 12 apostles, or that the red letters are the most important? If you have any of these symptoms, act now. Get help by listening to graceambassadorsradio.com. You're not alone. Bible ignorance can be cured. Help stop the ignorance by listening to graceambassadorsradio.com.
This summer, we have read about many tragedies and natural disasters, not only in our country, but around the world, and even close to home. Less than 2 weeks ago, tornadoes came through the Kokomo-Howard County listening area, and there was a lot of damage done and some great loss there and things that had happened. The topic of today's episode surrounds these kinds of issues, and we're going to ask the question, why does God allow these bad things to happen?
Yeah, that's a great question, and a common one that people ask when we're faced with tragedy. Because the thinking goes, as the philosophers have said, that if God is all-powerful, then he has the ability to stop these natural tragedies. And if God is loving, then he would care about us enough to stop the tragedies. And so what's the problem? You know, where's God in all of this? Why does God allow these things? And this is where dispensational Bible study really shines, I think, and helps us understand what God is doing today and why he does or doesn't intervene the way he does. Because what typically the philosophers and the thinkers and the folks who wonder and ask this question leave out of their thought process is not whether God has the power, and of course he does. The Bible says he's all-powerful, or whether God's loving, because he is. God committed his love so much toward us that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins while we were yet sinners. So God is all-powerful and he's all-loving, but they fail to take into account that God also has a purpose. God has a purpose that he's trying to reconcile the world. He's trying to offer salvation to a sin-cursed planet. And so this is what he's doing now. God is all-powerful to change the bad circumstances, and one day he will remove all death, pain, tears, and sin from the universe, from this world. He's also loving. And so because he's loving, he offers salvation to all sinners who deserve death and deserve a judgment. So this is what he's offering today. And until he brings his kingdom promise in, until he does change this planet around with his power, we live in this dispensation of grace, this time of grace, which the Bible describes as a time in which God is waiting. He is waiting, offering us salvation, waiting for our response to trust him in salvation. And so why does God allow bad things to happen? Well, in this dispensation of grace, it's because he gives grace to the world. This is why. He lets these things continue, lets people continue in their sin, lets natural tragedies occur as they naturally do, awaiting for us to respond to him in faith and dependence and in trust.
So a lot of bad things happened when these tornadoes came through our area. For example, people lost their homes. There were people who were injured. Buildings collapsed. Businesses down. But one of the questions that we hear a lot of people asking is, was this tornado a judgment from God? Do these things happen because God is judging people for something that they've done?
Good question. And of course, in the Bible, God does judge people. We know in the story of the flood, the worldwide flood, God judged the whole planet and saved just 8 people on that boat. We know in Israel's history, God judges many people. He judges the nation of Israel for their sins. He judges Gentile nations for opposing Israel. And Jesus talks about a future judgment in which Christ will return and judge the world. Yet, when we read Paul's epistles, we read in the scripture what God is doing today. We learn that today God is not judging the world. And I say that because as we read Paul's epistles, the apostle of the Gentiles, he says in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 17 and 18, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And so what God is doing today is not imputing sins unto people, because instead of imputing sins to us, he has imputed them to Christ and is instead offering Christ not as the judge of this world, but as the Savior of the world. And so there will be a time when Jesus Christ will return, and he'll return in judgment to make the kingdoms of this world his kingdoms. But until then, in this dispensation of grace, he's offering salvation. And so is the tornado judgment from God? No. And one way we know that is because of what God is doing. God cannot offer judgment and grace at the same time. This is not something anyone can do. Either you're going to offer to save someone or you're judging them. You're trying to punish them. And so you can't do them at the same time. God is not punishing us because he's saving people by his grace. If people think that he is judging, which is the natural reaction when bad circumstances happen, they need to figure out how they know that. They need to ask the question of how they came to that thought, because in the Bible, every time God judges people, he always tells them what he's doing. In the Old Testament, with the flood, for example, he warned through Noah and told people 100 years before the flood happened that he would do it. In the Old Testament with Israel, he warned in their law that if they disobeyed, he would judge them and told them how he would judge them, and even sent prophets to warn them before he did. And Jesus himself talked about the day when he would return and the signs of his coming and what that judgment would look like. Every time God judges, it's not capricious, it's not random or spontaneous. It's not something that looks like a natural disaster unless God tells you he caused it. And so we look in the scripture to see where God, you know, caused the tornado of 2016 in Howard County, and we don't see that anywhere, of course. And that's because, you know, the Bible describes this whole dispensation of a 2,000 years, but doesn't talk about any sort of judgment God's pouring out today.
So you say God is operating in the world today under grace and that he's not judging the world. But not everybody in our listening area was affected by the tornadoes. A lot of people didn't have any damage. They didn't have any loss. They didn't suffer anything. And some people have even said that since we did not have any people die in this tornado, that God was sparing us somehow. So the fact that some people didn't get hit by a tornado or that the damages weren't as bad as they could have been, does this mean that God was merciful to us in some way or that he spared us somehow?
Yeah, and that's the flip side of the same coin. The person who says that God has chosen me or blessed me because the tornado didn't hit my house has the same idea of what God is doing as the person who says God judged me because he did hit my house. Both of those people are thinking that God is making a judgment on the world and judges one person to be worthy of punishment and the other person worthy of reward or sparing or mercy. In both cases, God is judging. You see, he's judging based on the works. Now, the keystone of this dispensation of grace, the gospel, the grace of God, we learn that today God is offering salvation by grace without works. Now, what that means in Ephesians 2:8-9 and Romans 5, verse 1, that we're justified by faith and we have peace with God, what that means is that the peace and grace and salvation God's offering freely is offered without our merit. There's nothing we can do to earn or deserve or invoke God's blessing on us. We simply hear the gospel that Christ died for our sins, we believe it, and without our works, trusting only the finished work of Christ, God provides salvation to us. He gives grace to us in that way. Okay. And so when we think, well, is God sparing me because of some reason? He's chosen me in some way. You know, maybe you say, I've gone to church a lot, or I prayed a lot, or maybe God just likes me better than the other guy whose house got blown up, you know. Well, you're saying that God is looking at the world in some sort of judgment of their works, of their life, and saying, because of who they are, I'm going to respect that person and give them mercy. But the Bible tells us that in this dispensation, God has no respect of persons. He doesn't respect person A or person B. He offers everyone and all their sinners his grace. And so if he's offering grace, that means he's not giving you some special privilege over someone else. Neither is he judging your neighbor because their house was destroyed. And so that's the nature of grace, that God is simply providing to all freely. Now, if I can follow up on a question you mentioned earlier, sometimes people follow up with, well, how is it gracious if, you know, my house got destroyed, or in some places people die in natural tragedies? How is that gracious if, you know, if God has the ability and the power to stop it? How is that gracious that he doesn't stop it? Well, again, the thinking is that if God were to intervene to stop the tragedy, to stop your death, then why wouldn't he intervene to stop everyone's death? After all, we all die, and it's destined for man to once to die and to face God in judgment. So why wouldn't he stop everyone's death? I mean, every death is a tragedy, and every death brings us into eternity with, you know, before God to judge our souls, whether we live forever or not. And so why wouldn't he stop everyone's death would be the question. And again, it goes back to why God is doing what he's doing today. He doesn't intervene in the natural course of affairs, whether it be your body degrading and dying, or that be a flood, or whether it be tornadoes or earthquakes. He's not intervening in those affairs because he's offering you grace. He is hands off, you see, because he's offering salvation without works. That means without your works for salvation, and he's finished his work on Christ's cross. And so since man has rejected God and said, we don't want you around 2,000 years ago when they killed Christ, he said, okay, I'll step back and offer you grace anyway. And that's what he's been doing for 2,000 years. There will be a time when this dispensation is over and he stops offering grace to the world, and there will not be an opportunity any longer for men to be saved by grace through faith without works, trusting Christ's finished work on the cross. And at that time, there will be a pouring out of God's judgment. And this is what the book of Revelation talks about in the prophets, how Christ will return and he will judge the world. And people will know that it will be of God because, as Jesus described, they'll see the signs of his coming as lightning, and they'll see those tribulation signs. And he'll come and judge the nations. Matthew 24 describes that. And so he'll come in judgment. But in this time, he's giving grace and offering salvation. Every day, as Peter says, is a day of long suffering so that God could save men.
On this week's episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, we're talking about the natural disasters and tragedies that we've been hearing so much of this summer and that have even affected us here close to home. When we come back, we're going to continue discussing these issues about why bad things happen and how to respond to them from a biblical perspective.
Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
Here's what people are saying about Mid-Acts Pauline Right Division.
When I learned how to rightly divide the Bible, I realized for the first time that I truly am at peace with God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross.
Studying and learning God's Word rightly divided has helped me to realize how important it is to know sound doctrine.
When I came to rightly dividing the Word, everything just fell in place.
True comfort and peace come from knowing what God is doing today, and I don't have to wonder anymore because he's revealed it in his Word.
Right Division has changed my understanding of Christianity and the Bible.
I was a very dedicated Christian before I learned Right Division, but when I learned Right Division, it completely changed my life.
Learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Right Division at graceambassadorsradio.com. And it's yours free!
Yay!
With any size donation. It's free if you buy one at regular price. It's free for the first month. It's free when you sign up for our
It's buy one, get one.
Feel like you're being baited every time you turn around?
Uh-huh.
It seems like there's always a catch if you don't read the fine print. You can't believe everyone when they say something's free, but you should believe me when I tell you about two free things I want you to have today. Why believe me? Because I don't get any money from you receiving these free gifts. We have no paid sponsors. There are no commercials on Grace Ambassadors Radio. We're not trying to sell you anything. Everything in this program is already paid for in full. Which brings me to the first gift, your salvation. Salvation is free because Christ has already paid for it by dying on the cross for your sins. You can be certainly saved for free right where you sit by trusting Christ's payment for your sins. Trust His resurrection, and you can claim eternal life and salvation for free through Jesus Christ. The second thing for free that I want to give you is a free book called Start Rightly Dividing, and one copy is yours for free. No strings attached, no bait, no switch, just free. You just tell me where to send it. Or you can stop by if you want Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. It's in Swayze, Indiana. Pick it up for yourself. All the books there are free. However you get it, it's totally free and completely paid for by Grace Ambassadors Radio, even the shipping and handling. We won't ask you to sign up for anything, give anything. We won't ask you to attend anywhere. We won't even follow up to see if you liked it. It's just plain free. I know it's hard to believe what you hear on the radio, but I want you to know the privilege of having free salvation by learning it for yourself in the Bible Rightly Divided. Trust Jesus Christ, He paid for your sins, and learn how to start rightly dividing by claiming your free book. Write me at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, or visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com.
So in this week's episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, we've been talking about why bad things happen, specifically in relation to the tornadoes that recently devastated parts of our listening area. And to follow up on that, we want to ask the question that, you know, if I'm someone who's been affected by these tornadoes or any disaster, natural tragedy or suffering of any kind, how can I find help from God in these circumstances?
And that's a good question, because we were just talking about what God is doing, being hands-off, offering grace to the world because the world had first rejected Him some 2,000 years ago. So what is God providing? Well, we know that God's providing grace. God's offering salvation. God commends His love toward us, that while we're sinners, He died for us. So we have the gospel. But we also have hope in the Lord. You see, if all we have in this world is death and destruction, which is the case every day, may not be in Howard County every day, but somewhere in the world, there's death and destruction. There's natural tragedies and disasters. And so we live in a present evil world, which is what the Bible says, Galatians 1 verse 4. We live in a place of death. And God's the only one that provides the answer for that. And so the hope that we have in God is that He gives us the ability to respond to our circumstances from an eternal perspective. Romans chapter 5 says, a tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. The idea there being that we have an eternal hope. Our hope as Christians is not a temporary hope. If all our hope was in our good health or in our possessions or our wealth or something like that, then our hope would be temporary, and every time something bad happened to us, this would be a mockery of God. But instead, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in resurrection. Our hope is in eternal life, and that by grace. And so because of that, that's a hope that can never fail. And if we understand the faithfulness of God in doing all the work to save us, and also the ability He has, the great power and great love that He possesses, which coincidentally is the exact arguments people use against Him, knowing that, that gives us as believers hope, because He does have the power and the love to do that which He promised to do according to His purpose in the Scripture.
When these kinds of circumstances happen, there are lots of different kinds of reactions, even from among Christians. As we addressed earlier in the episode, there are some people who will say that God was pouring out punishment or judgment in this circumstance, and there will be other people referring to the same circumstance that say God was being merciful or sparing, or He saved me from this and such. And so a lot of the conflicting statements that we hear from the Christian community in these kinds of events often bring out a lot of mockery and ridicule from non-believers and people who are hearing those statements and realizing they're contrary or don't make any sense. How do we respond to this? What should be the Christian response to sufferings and destruction and tragedy?
Yeah, and one thing we need to admit and recognize is that there is a confused response from Christianity. Unfortunately, a lot of Christianity does not know what God is doing. And I've heard even academics and scholars and so-called Christian leaders, and they ask them about tragedies, and they get all silly about the answer and confused about it because they do not know why these things are happening. A lot of them have confused theology about what God is doing. They think God's establishing his kingdom. They think that God is intervening in the same way he did during Jesus' ministry with miracles and healing and whatever else. And so when things bad happen, there's no doctrinal response from the scripture. And so the first thing Christians need to do is just to respond with the Bible rightly divided. They need to learn what God is actually doing. And if they don't know what he's doing, they need to be quiet because they're ignorant just like the rest of them. But we need to study the scripture to see what God is doing. And like we discussed earlier in the episode, what he is doing is offering salvation by grace. What he is doing is giving hope to a world that's hopeless. What he's doing is providing comfort to those who need it. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 talks about those of us who have the sentence of death. And 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9 says, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. You see, we preach a gospel of Christ's payment for our sins, and then the resurrection of the dead based on Christ's resurrection. And so we believe in that sort of resurrection. And so if Christians were to die, and Christians die across the world just like non-Christians, we believe and have a hope of life after that death. And this is because of Christ's resurrection. And so we do have a hope that maketh not ashamed. Romans 8:18 says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so again, this glory that shall be revealed, this comparison to eternity, to the present sufferings, this is the power that Christ and God brings to the situation. Without that power of the gospel, what we're left with is just an analysis that life is vanity, and that at any moment you have some storm come through, takes away all your possessions, and you're left with nothing. At any moment, some tragedy strikes and you're dead. At any moment, you've lost everything that's valuable to you and your life is vain. And so the Bible really does give us meaning and hope and comfort in those situations, especially those of us who've gone through situations can help comfort others that have gone through it. And of course, all that's by faith in Christ.
Well, that really brings us to the big question surrounding this topic of why do bad things happen and tragedies and sufferings and things in this world. So if people say that our God is a loving God and a gracious God, then the ultimate question in response to that from non-believers is often, why do people, even good people, suffer and die in this world?
Well, first, there's none good but God, and the Bible says there's none righteous, and we're all sinners, and death comes by sin. And so why do good people die? Well, naturally, it's because of sin. But at the same time, the question needs to be asked, not only do why do good people die, but why do bad people live? And this, I think, is an also worthy question, because if God is supposed to be judging the world, as the questioner assumes, you know, if God were judging the person by his goodness, then if he were truly good, which we know none is good, then he should let him live. And if he's doing that today, imputing sins on one person, not imputing them to another, and imputing righteousness, sort of business, then he should kill the bad person. As soon as he sees a sinner sin, they should judge him on the spot. Yet that's not what we see happening. And the answer to the reason why bad people live is because of God's grace. The reason why someone who is a Christian, who believes the gospel of Christ, who has been given the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason why they live forever is because of what Christ did by his grace. And so when they die to resurrect from the dead. They die to live eternally. And their death is actually just a putting off of this mortal body that couldn't last forever anyway. And so this is the hope God provides to those people who trust the gospel, not because they're good in themselves, but because Christ died for their sins. So why do bad people live? Well, that's a better question, I think. Why doesn't God judge the bad people now? Well, he's offering them grace, just like the person you thought was good. He's offering him grace as well. The Christian accepts God's grace, believes the gospel, and as a result, they have the promise of eternal life. And if you're an ungodly, if you're the bad, the same grace is offered to you. You trust the gospel of Jesus Christ. You put your faith in what Christ did on the cross for your sins. You trust Christ's resurrection. And then you have the hope of glory. You have an eternal position. You have life forever. And so when your body degrades or when your body dies, you'll have the resurrection power of God in you. And so, again, the answer to all the questions today seems to be a dispensational answer, which is that God is offering grace to the world. And why do people die? Because of this dispensation, he's offering grace of eternal life through resurrection. You know, God heals us through resurrection. God heals us through salvation. That's how God works. And as he works in us and starts to conform us to his image, we're able to give other people hope. And we're able to give other people encouragement and save others from this present evil world and from their sin. And so the thing that you can see when you look at this world is, yes, an evil world when left without God, or you can see the way God is trying to save everyone from themselves, save everyone from the presence of sin, save everyone from coming judgment. He does that through Jesus Christ.
We've been discussing some heavy topics today on Grace Ambassadors Radio, talking about pain and suffering and tragedy, and even tragedy happening close to home. If you have any questions about the things that we've discussed on this episode, or why God allows bad things to happen, or why do good people die and suffer, send us your questions, email us your questions through our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. Let us know you heard this episode and that you've got questions about these very sort of issues, and we'll be very happy to get your questions addressed and get you answers from the Bible rightly divided.
Is this what the Bible sounds like to you? Haven't you gone long enough without knowing what you believe? Cut through the confusion and learn to understand your Bible rightly divided with Grace Ambassadors Radio.
Listen to Grace Ambassadors Radio every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock on WIOU 1350 AM or visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. By the cross, God takes ungodly sinners and freely justifies them through faith. But how can a righteous God give salvation to ungodly men simply by faith? Shouldn't salvation be earned by good works? The problem is that we are all sinners and the wages of sin is death. So a million good works amount to nothing when one sin results in death. If God only can give salvation, and man cannot earn salvation and has nothing with which to pay, then the only way to get salvation is if God provides it freely. And this is exactly what God has done through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust God's righteousness in Christ and not your own, and you will be saved.
Want to learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, the only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio. You can listen to this entire episode and previous broadcasts of Grace Ambassadors Radio by visiting our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. Justin Johnson is the pastor of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, located just 2 miles south of Swayze, Indiana, where he teaches the Bible rightly divided every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and every Tuesday evening at 7. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.